Business plan. Organizational and business strategies are formalized and clearly specified within an organization's business plan. A business plan is a written document that describes the overall direction of the company and what it wants to become in the future. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a business plan as follows. 1. A statement of long-range strategy and revenue, cost, and profit objectives, usually accompanied by budgets, a projected balance sheet, and a cash flow statement. A business plan is usually stated in terms of dollars and grouped by product family, which is then translated into tactical functional plans through the production planning process or the sales and operations planning, S&OP, process. C. Business planning, long-term planning, strategic plan. 2. A document consisting of the business details, organization, strategy, and financing tactics prepared by an entrepreneur to plan for a new business. The business plan provides general direction regarding how the company plans on achieving its long-term objectives. Key functions such as finance, engineering, marketing, and operations typically have input into the plan. As illustrated in Exhibit 8-3, the overall business plan cascades down to those same functions. Exhibit 8-3. Impact of business plan. The finance function manages and tracks the sources of funds, amounts available for use, cash flows, budgets, profits, product profit margins, and return on investment. Engineering is responsible for research and development and the design and redesign of products to meet requirements. Marketing's focus is on analysis of the marketplace and how the company positions itself and its products. The goal of operations is to meet the demands of the marketplace via the organization's products. Operations also manages the manufacturing facilities, machinery, equipment, labor, materials, and procurement as efficiently as possible. These functional roles collectively support the success of the supply chain. The business plan is based on and aligned with the organizational and business strategies and with market requirements. It provides a framework for the organization's performance objectives that are tied to strategic goals. Formation of and changes to the business plan come from top management's modifications to the organizational and business strategy. However, just because an organization invests time in developing and documenting a strategy, the selected strategy may or may not be the best fit for an organization's actual capabilities and actual business environment. One way to determine how well a strategy fits an organization is to use Porter's 5 fundamental elements. After that, the various components of the business plan are discussed. Value proposition, core competencies, cost structure, and revenue model. Porter's 5 fundamental elements. Michael Porter, in his influential work on business strategy, Competitive Advantage, argued that an organization's fitness for a given competitive strategy relied on choices related to 5 fundamental elements of any business. Note that these are not Porter's famous 5 forces, but rather areas that need to be aligned to support a given strategy. Customer service. The accuracy, flexibility, and speed of responses and deliveries. Sales channels. The allowed methods of placing an order for goods or services. Value system. The value-added activities that the organization and the supply chain partners will provide. This requires specifying the core competencies the organization will pursue and that other supply chain partners will pursue to add value. Operating model. The way plan, source, transform, order, fulfill, and return operations are arranged to meet working capital and cost objectives at the proper level of customer service. Make to stock, make to order, assemble to order, and engineer to order are types of operating models. Asset footprint. The scope and location of owned and leased property, plant, and equipment. Information systems and infrastructure. Cost, distribution, and skill levels of human resources, and access to capital. The idea here is to put the proper emphasis on each element, rather than isolating the decisions regarding each element, which could lead to suboptimization and conflicting goals. Planning for all of these business elements should be integrated to develop a cohesive strategy. Value proposition. The organization's value proposition is the set of activities considered valuable by the organization's customers. The value proposition may also explicitly discuss the value provided by supply chain partners. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines value broadly as the worth of an item, good, or service. Value is often determined by what the customer is willing to pay. While this merely shifts the discussion from the meaning of value to the meaning of worth, note how value includes both goods and services. A related concept that is fundamental to supply chain management is value added. Adding value to a good or service is the responsibility of each entity and process in the supply chain. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines value added in manufacturing terms as the actual increase of utility from the viewpoint of the customer as a part is transformed from raw material to finished inventory. It also refers to the contribution made by an operation or a plant to the final usefulness and value of a product, as seen by the customer. The objective is to eliminate all non-value-added activities in producing and providing a good or service. The value proposition shows how the organization plans to emphasize each of Porter's five fundamental elements and thus provide the added value as defined by the customer in terms of customer service, quality, increase in utility for the price, and so on. The value proposition is a relative assessment of what is value added. An operation or process adds value if it does so better faster, and/or at a lower cost than the available alternatives. Thus, it is benchmarked against competitors and third-party service providers. This analysis can help the organization validate its core competencies and the value of the products or services rendered by others. Core competencies. An organization's core competencies can be analyzed best by breaking the necessary functions and activities down into categories. The subcategories shown leverage SCORE DS registered trademark processes. Decision-making activities. Orchestrating. Planning. Execution activities. Sourcing. Ordering. Transforming. Fulfilling. Returning. Some organizations choose to retain the decision-making activities and outsource some or all of the execution activities to organizations that can leverage lower-paid workers or other competitive advantages. Other organizations retain certain portions of execution activities to meet quality objectives. For example, an organization could do its own purchasing and get bulk discounts while controlling quality levels, but then outsource the final assembly of the product to a third party who is responsible for final quality and lead time at a lower manufacturing cost. Core competencies generally fall within one or more areas of competitive advantage. Economy of scale advantages allow high utilization of assets at a low per unit cost. This can involve bulk purchasing, high capacity production with long runs, large quantity shipping, or a large customer base. Geographic expertise or capacity advantages take the form of regional networking, business associations, language and culture expertise, or regional economies of scale. Technology advantages include proprietary technologies that would be cost prohibitive to develop or license. Resource advantages include currently available labor, expertise, materials, or financing that would take time and effort to develop. Cost structure. An organization's cost structure will be influenced by its operating model, asset footprint, capacity, customer service levels, technology investments, market labor prices, and so on. Of these, the operating model and the asset footprint most strongly influence cost structure. The cost structure of various operating models differs significantly. Make-to-stock has low production costs, but high inventory carrying costs. This model is best for standardized, high-volume products. Assemble to order. Modules are made to stock, but the final customer order is assembled only after being ordered, has moderate production costs, and low inventory carrying and planning costs. This model is for moderate to high demand items with many options, such as computers. Make to order has high production costs, but low inventory carrying costs and low planning costs. This model is for items that have sporadic demand patterns or that come in a wide variety of configurations or options. Configure to order. Mass-producing items that can be configured after being ordered is a short lead time extension of make-to-order that has moderate production and inventory carrying costs. It is used when it would take longer to assemble the item than the customer is willing to wait. Delivery times can be reduced and customer experiences tailored. Engineer-to-order, for example, construction of a building, has production and inventory costs that can be initiated after payment is agreed upon. The asset footprint is the number, location, and size of the organization's property, plant, and equipment, PP&E, and the regions or countries in which the organization operates. While minimizing such assets is good for an organization's balance sheet, the footprint needs to be large enough and capable enough to handle the required capacity of each type of activity in the supply chain. In addition to these physical assets, a supply chain asset footprint can also refer to soft assets, such as the location of various functional areas or teams, such as a purchasing team. The goal of footprint optimization is to determine how much of each type of asset is needed in total, and then to decide where to locate them to enable targeted customer service levels. There are several models for how these costs can be configured. With a global asset footprint, all production for a good or service takes place at one set of locations for distribution globally. This model increases economies of scale and minimizes unit production costs. It is best for items that require highly specialized expertise and are capital intensive. There will also be a cost to address business interruption risk. With a regional asset footprint, production and sales are localized by region. This cost model is best when transportation costs or time are a significant part of the decision. Products can also be produced to meet regional requirements. Different types of products can be made in different regions for some cross-swapping of products. With a country-specific asset footprint, production and sales are localized by country. This model is best when transportation costs or time requirements are prohibitively high relative to the sale price/weight of the good. Avoidance of duties and tariffs or compliance with a country's local sourcing regulations can be other reasons for using this model. The decisions regarding what to own and what to source through contracts will have a large impact on the organization's cost structure. In addition, some areas have tax incentives to attract business, while others have higher taxes. Tax optimization is an area for specialists who can provide valuable input to related cost discussions. Revenue model. A revenue model is the organization's plan for how it will earn more revenue than its expenses and thus earn a profit. A revenue model considers the sales channels that the organization will employ to sell the good or service. Channels can be direct or indirect, that is, from a dedicated sales force or web page or through intermediaries such as distributors or retailers. Each sales channel will have different profit margins, depending on the cost of setting up and maintaining that channel and the amount of profit that each supply chain partner retains. Customer segmentation and customer profitability are the primary decision points regarding which channels to maintain and promote for which customers. Other decisions related to the revenue model include who receives goods or services when demand outstrips supply, and whether to offer channels that directly compete with one another, such as a self-service vending machine or website versus a retail store.